You know, it's interesting as we get to know each other. One of the fastest ways to know each other is usually out in the garden. And I've got to know a lot of good friends out in the garden, like my snake and worms and little mice and different bugs and ants. But this evening, this afternoon, we're going to look at gardening. Now, again, this is going to be fast paced. I don't have much time. If you want more information, you have to contact our ministry. My name is Brad Neely, and our ministry is Grow Ministries. But we're going to look at gardening this evening, or this afternoon. You know, the things we got to think about is trying to educate ourselves back to the basics. You know, when my grandparents were living, they didn't have to problem with all these things. It was simple. Now, they didn't have solar, but they took care of bees. You know, sometimes they have wood stoves. They had, this is my garden, and they have fruit trees and things like that. But today, we're so bombarded with all these microwaves and stores that if something really had to happen here, what would happen to us? Especially in these cities, think about it. 3 days supply in our stores. Now, in L.A., it might be a little less. It's got tons of people. But 3 days, can you imagine if this city had to shut down? What would happen to us? And so, one suggestion is to try to grow a little garden. In your garden, in your yard, or in your little apartment. Now, let's look at some things here. As you look at this. Food should be your medicine. And this is Hippocrates, to let that food be that medicine, and that medicine be that food. Thomas Edison said this, the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, and diet, and the cause and prevention of disease.
Wow.
And that was, so the best doctor in the world is who? It's those farmers and the gardeners, that's where the medicine is at. Okay? You don't have to grow a tomato with insulin bottle in it, do you? No. Well, you don't have to grow potatoes with your high blood pressure medicine, even though they're trying to do those things right now. Now, the thing I want to keep in mind is we're looking at nutritional value in our food. When you have poor taste, you have poor nutritional value. And then if you have poor taste, you have a sick plant. And guess what happens when you have a sick plant? The bugs come in and attack your plant. And the bugs kill your plant. And so you think in your mind, what must I do? I must destroy the bug. But the bug's been telling you what? Your plant is sick. If your plant was really healthy, and I want to show you some pictures from our garden. If your plant is really healthy, the bug does get on that plant and just digest some of the carbohydrates and sugars in that plant. If it's in high concentration, that sugar will turn to alcohol in the bug. Either he will get drunk, or he will can't synthesize all that sugar and he'll die. And so our key is to get nutrition back into that soil to go to the plant. This is a garden we were working in here in East Germany, I was working at. And this family has gotten their garden really humming very well. Okay, things to consider in growing. The climate you're living in. If you live here in California, you guys have different shades of climate. You got to consider that when you're growing. Second, how large is your garden space you're going to grow? Now, I have something here for you. A 300 square foot garden, 15 by 20, can feed 4 people. That's all. A little small garden can feed 4 people. Now, if you are a big eater, then you need to spread it out some. Okay? But this can take care of 4 people and setting your garden up. How much will you use? That's the key when you're growing. And which plants do you like or dislike? If you hate okra,
don't grow. Bring it to me.
If you hate broccoli,
bring it to me.
Grow it. See, broccoli and all those plants, it has those cancer-fighting phytochemicals in them. You need those things. I'm going to show you some things about that. And you need to find which plant produces more in your area. Okay, and least amount of time and effort. Now, things to also consider, how deep your soil is going to be, cultivate regularly, maintain a soil improvement plan, we'll talk about that a little bit, rest some part of your land, so some of your part of your land can just rest,
so that the microorganisms can fill that soil back up again. Use the best varieties, the best seeds, that's what I'm talking about, the best seeds in your area. And that's why I suggest that you try to look into open pollinated or heirloom seeds. You can do some hybrid seeds, but try to go to open pollinated and heirloom. If you ever tasted, give you an example, a fingerling potato. Anyone know what those are? Those potatoes are skinny, they're not fat, they're a little bit long, but when you cook them, oh, they're very creamy, very excellent. But they're heirloom potatoes. There's a lot of different types of ones. You want to plant in season, that means you got to be careful that if you're growing lettuce and you're planting in the summertime, certain lettuce do not plant in the summer, they don't do well, so they'll start going bitter. But bitter is better if you're dealing with your liver. It detoxifies. But it doesn't taste good, so a lot of times you go down to the store and you buy what? Dressing. But some plants grow very good in warm, some plants grow very good in cool weather. You want to replenish your soil, that's what we're talking about, putting minerals back in. Do not harm the soil life. Everything under that soil is a living city. Just like you guys are living in this LA basin or wherever you come from, you got people living here. But underneath the soil, there's a living city down here. And we want to take care of that city so they can produce for us. Because everything that that city does under there makes it available for your plant. So really, you and I are living off of the BM of the microorganisms and worms. That's nice to know, isn't it? And then we got to be patient, working our soil, making sure we're patient. Don't rush it. Okay. And they consider troublesome insects and diseases as a symptom that you did not follow the principle that I just said previously. Okay. We're going to look at that a little bit more. Okay. This is something I want you to really keep in mind. You have a savings account in your garden, and you have a bank account. Now, some of you might not have a savings account, right? We're just working off the bank account. But if you had $100 in your bank account and you made a check for $500, what would happen? Unless you have a certain kind of protection for your overdrawing protection. So what's going to happen is you keep doing that, they're going to what? They're going to call the police on you and arrest you. But in our soils, we need to have organic matter. Organic matter is like leaves, straw, food scraps that you're not eating, you finish eating, you don't, maybe the skins of the onions, different things like that, your lemons, your apple cores and things. That's organic matter. That feeds the soil. And then when it feeds the soil, it releases nutrients because of the organism eating it, and that is your bank account. That is what the plant can take up. The plant can't take up any leaves at all. It has to be broken down. So the worm can do that. So in our garden, we have 8-inch worms. And they break down this stuff. And it makes the nutrients available for my plant. Okay, so you want to make sure, you want to build your savings account so that your checking account can have money you can draw from your savings. Okay, continue on. Some things you need to continue. Remember our savings account, organic matter, helps release the nutrients, the nitrogen, the phosphorus, the potassium, and there's many other nutrients. We know that. And these are slowly available, but they become available when the microorganisms are working on them. Okay? And then that influences your pH. So a lot of times people say, well, I have acidic soil, I have alkaline soil. The key here is feed your soil, and they will bring it into balance. Then a lot of the scientific stuff you want to worry too much. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. All right. What can we do to build our soil, our savings account? Cover crops. That's like growing clover. Even if you grew mustard seeds out in your garden, mustard is a good detoxifier of the soil. It'll also take care of some of the bad bacteria out there. Another one is horseradish. It detoxifies the soil. One that we used to use years ago, my grandfather told me, was they grew carrots. Carrots pulls all the bad stuff into the carrot, and it kind of cleans the area. So, but you don't want to eat the carrot. So you want to eat good carrots. So those things, those root crops are pulling some of the toxins in. Oops, let me back up here. You have your hay mulch, compost, manures. I just say use them in caution. Because if you're not using raw manure, there's a problem with E. coli. And if you don't compost that raw manure at least 165 degrees, at least, at that temperature, 150 and above, it will kill the E. coli. But if you don't do that, and you spray it on your plants, you could be setting yourself up for E. coli bacteria. So manures, I try not to mess with unless I'm putting them down in the fall, and then I let it sit for the winter and let the elements work on it. But manures, I'm not, if you can get horse manure or cow manure, people today use bio sludge. You know what that is, right? That's just human manure. And they get that from the municipality. They do all the sewage. They just dry it out, and they can give that back to the community. And you can use it in your garden if you want to. But I don't need that. And you can purchase products like alfalfa or soybean meal. I used to do alfalfa. Alfalfa has a lot of trace minerals in it, over 30 trace minerals. Also has a natural plant growth hormone in it. And it really gets your plants moving. Rock phosphate. I don't mess with bone meal. I put it there because people like to use it. But I remember a farmer told me he uses bone meal. He puts his gloves on. Bone meal is just a byproduct of all those dead animals, lion and mala. And then you have bone meal. It has phosphorus in it and it has minerals. But you got to be careful because people are not concerned. They're concerned now about mad cow disease or the prion, that protein. So you got to be careful on some of these animal products. Because in these big slaughterhouses, they don't care. They all put them in a big grinder, a little mixer, mix it all up, and then they sell it. Blood meal is another byproduct of an animal. So this is one you want to leave up here just for a minute. So you can write it down. This is what I use for my plant recipes. I use 4 cups of soybean meal or cottonseed or alfalfa meal. Now remember, you make as much portion as you want to make it. I'm just giving you a basic proportion. You can make it 5 shovels full or whatever. Either you do 4 cups of soybean or cottonseed or alfalfa meal. Then you're going to take a fourth of a cup of this high calcium lion. You can find that in Home Depot or Lowe's or all these different places. Then you can find 1/4 of gypsum lion. That gives you your sulfur. This gives you your calcium. Then you have 1 cup of soft rock phosphate. And you got to really be out here in the West Coast. Your soft rock will come from Utah. And so you can find those. They have a big distribution out here. And they have this soft rock kind of, it's that first, when they dig into these mines, that first gathering out, that little powder stuff. That has a lot of 30 different minerals in there. Then I use a half a cup of kelp meal or seaweed meal. Then a half a cup of molasses, dry or white sugar. I don't care if it's blue, white, green, gray sugar. Now this is the granular sugars, okay? So if you can't find molasses where I can get 50 pounds of the dry for $12. But here, if you can't get, just use white sugar. The white sugar is to stimulate the organisms to start breaking all this down in the soil. The sugar is their energy, their carbohydrates to get them moving, get them really going. And then you're going to use only a fourth to a half a cup per plant. That's all you're using. So I would say use a fourth of a cup. Don't go greedy. You can over-toxify your soil. So a fourth to a half a cup per plant, and then feed your plant. All right, want to continue on? If someone can get all down, listen to the neighbor next to you, because you shake their hand, they'll help you out there. All right, let's look at a couple more. This is 5-10-5. You know that fertilizer you buy in the store, 5-10-5? Well, this is how you make it. This is important to make it the natural way. 8.25 alfalfa meal, 4.5 pounds of soft rock, 15 pounds of green sand gives you 5-10-5, and you're only using 5 pounds for 1,000 square foot.
Question.
Yes.
On the previous page, are you mixing that with a certain amount of water?
No, that's dry blend. It's all dry. This is all dry, no water. This is all dry blend. Mix it all about.
Now, are you waiting to water it after a certain period of time?
Well, if you put it, usually when I'm planting my plant, I have myself mixed up already. Then I put it in the ground, in the soil, cover it up, and then put your root on top of it. Don't put your root on top of these nutrients because you want the roots to find them. Because we're lazy. We always want to be spoon fed. So you just put it in the ground, cover it up a little bit of soil, and then put your plant on that, let it, and then water it, a little water. Okay. Thank you. And so this is dry blend. I'm going to give you one more here on this. This is 10-10-10, the fertilizer you buy at the store.
This is how you make it. 16.75 pounds of alfalfa, 4.5 of softwa, 10 pounds of green sand. And that's how you make 10, 10, 10. There's simple things you can do in your area. To make, you can use 5 pounds a 1,000 square foot, or use a couple of tablespoons per plant, and you have your 10, 10, 10. Right, I'll leave it up there. I'm on a time frame. I got to fly right by here. So here we go. If not, just look on the next neighbor next to you who can shorthand or do whatever. And if not, we'll try to see if we can get this to you. Okay, this is from Cornell University. This works very well. You need to go buy aspirin. This is the uncoated aspirin, the cheapest aspirin you can find. At those dollar stores or 99 cent stores out here. And you want to look on the back of the bottle and make sure it has willow in it. That's the pain, for pain. And they take 1.5, take the next one, split it in half, and take that and put it in 2 gallons of water. And just let it sit overnight. It dissolves. And then what you want to do is you want to add 2 tablespoons of a little soap in there, mild soap. The best soap I would say to use is like, you ever heard of Dr. Bonner's? There's another one called Castile. Those soaps, those are mild. Don't use antibacterial soap because you're going to destroy the antibacterial out there. So once you do that, spray your plant. This aspirin will build the immune system of that plant and also build a nutrition with it. But it's awesome if you just do this. You can go find it for 99 cents, these little bottles, and you can make your own little aspirin tea. Okay? So 1.5 of uncoated aspirin to 2 gallons of water, and then let it sit to dissolve in the morning. If you soak in it, you spray your plants. The soap is only to get the stick on the leaves, that aspirin in the water. Okay? Let's go on with vinegar. This is the Bragg organic vinegar for ladies and men. I usually use this one a lot. I like the Bragg because it don't have all that junk in it. I just take 1 tablespoon, mix it in a gallon of water, and go at it. Spray all your plants. Has over 50 trace minerals located in the apple cider vinegar, the Bragg. And now you might find some other ones that are better of the apple cider vinegar, but Bragg is the only one I can get in my area that I like, and that's one I use. Okay. And you want to spray your plants at least every couple weeks or every 3 weeks. And sometimes the vinegar will make your plants green up more. Years ago, I experimented with this in our garden. You ever heard of activated charcoal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you put activated charcoal, a tablespoon, around your soil or in the hole, it will. The Indians did this in the 1800s. So my grandfather was saying, if you put it there, it'll make the plant turn greener. The pigment of the chlorophyll, the photosynthesis. So it will make it green, and also the activated charcoal detoxifies your soil. Especially living in a city like this, where I thought that was like fog coming in here. And it's not fog. That's what?
Smog.
So, and you can feel it. How do you deal with that? Well, easy. Go get your shot. I'm not talking about drinking, not alcohol, but take a shot of wheatgrass juice. When I was working in New York City, working in the Bronx, and doing a seminar for a month, I couldn't take it. My body was just, where I'm from in the country, you don't have all this, but my body was, I was feeling like it was really getting bogged down. So every day I'd go down to the nearest juice bar in the Bronx and get me a shot. So I told the guy, I want a shot of wheatgrass. And I can do it, and I can drink a couple of wheatgrass now, but at that time, I was just doing a little shot. You want to start small. If you don't start small, you will feel like you will be drugged up. So you want to just start small, and you can deal with some of this stuff that's going on today. All right, let's look at a couple more things here. The minerals, and we're going to look at some of these minerals that's really important for our garden. Let's look at one here. We have the primary one is nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. That's the NPK. You see on those bags of fertilizers? The first number is nitrogen, the second number is phosphorus, the third number is potassium. So if you see 10, 10, 10, the first number is nitrogen, the second number is phosphorus, the third number is potassium. But you notice there's over 100, if you into chemistry, there's over 100 minerals. And a lot of times they only put something in your bag, and the rest is just filler. And so your plant needs phosphorus,
It needs calcium, it needs iron, it needs magnesium, it needs molybdenum, it needs boron, it needs zinc, it needs manganese, copper, chlorine, even more than that. That's why if you go to the store and you look and you buy some broccoli, and you turn that broccoli over and look at the stem of it, if you see a hole in the broccoli, that tells me you have a boron deficiency. And tells me you didn't get enough calcium going into that plant. So your plant is deficient even though it looks like it's a broccoli. And that's one way you can tell. So when you go to the store or restore, you go to just turn the broccoli around and look at the stem and see if there's a hole there. If it is, it's a deficient plant. So really you're going to eat only what? Fiber. But that keeps you regular. But you're not getting a lot of nutrients that you need. Okay, nitrogen, we're going to go right through this here. Promotes rapid vegetable growth, that's the leaf, okay? And gives plants healthier green color. Keep in mind is every plant needs nitrogen. Some need it less than others. If you're growing lettuce, it needs more nitrogen than anything, because all you need is what? The leaf. If you just took a whole bunch of nitrogen and threw it on your tomato plant, and then put anything else, guess what's going to happen? You have a bunch of leaves, but no flowers. And it wouldn't, it doesn't fruit. So sometimes you see your plants like peppers, squash, and all those things as they growing, you say, why is it not getting fruit? You might be too far in nitrogen and not enough potassium in your phosphorus. And you might be in, so you might have put too much nitrogen. Okay, phosphorus, that stimulates early growth and root formation, hastens maturity, promotes seed production, makes the plant very hardy. Okay? That's the phosphorus. That's when you're working with plants that go from flowers and setting the fruit. All plants need a lot of these minerals, but some need it more than others. Okay? And so if I'm growing tomatoes or peppers or watermelons and things like that, I want to make sure I have more phosphorus in my fertilizer. Okay? Potassium improves the plant's ability to resist disease, cold, aids in the production of the carbohydrates to build the sugars in the plant. Okay, so you plant can have something to fight with. Alright. Calcium. The aids in the movement of carbohydrates in the plant is essential to the healthy cell wall and the root structure. So calcium, there's more things, but since it's because of time we gotta really hit it very fast, but calcium is very important. The major mineral in our body is what? Calcium. Just in the plant too. Alright, this is one I want you to just I didn't mean to put this here. This is one we're working with overseas, but I'll leave it up there. Just if now we got to go. We got to keep going. Let's go right here. I'll give you this one. This one is works. Those who are vegan who don't want any animal product in their land, or but be careful because when you say you're a vegan gardener, you don't eat any byproduct of any animal. What about the worms? And the microbiology out there. So, you know, I just put this up there to kind of, you know, give someone to think about. But 5 parts alfalfa meal, 2 parts of rock phosphate, 1 part kelp meal, and this is granite dust. You can find that in some of these nurseries. They sell this granite dust. It gives you more potassium. It has more, and it gives the rock minerals. And you use 5 pounds for 100 square foot. And you can multiply it and make it bigger if you want. For those who live in the cities and work in the country, you can just keep adding more and make it bigger. Okay, I want to go, this is alfalfa tea. Now, you can do a lot of alfalfa. You don't have to, but alfalfa, I found, it's just wonderful. Plant growth, stimulating. It has tons of trace minerals. It does have the nitrogen, the phosphorus, potassium, and calcium in low doses, but it's just a wonderful thing. Now, I usually do is, I go to the store and buy me pantyhose. Not to wear. But I go to the store and buy me pantyhose, and then what I do is I fill them up with alfalfa or some compost, and I get a bucket like this, and I put one leg I fill up with one leg I fill up with this compost and alfalfa, and I let it soak in water, and then I might put like 2 tablespoons of sugar in there to stimulate the organisms from the compost. And then after a while, you know, a couple of days, since how warm it is, I might stir it every day. And then I dilute it down 1 to 1. That means if I'm doing 5 gallons, I'm going to make another 5 gallons of water
and dilute it down. So I have 2, then I have 10 gallons of diluted tea. And that tea you spray everywhere. You spray it on your plants, your soil. Spray it on people if you want. You want to spray your plants with that. And it really goes. I let it sit 10 days. Now, if you want to make it even better, go to the store, the Walmart. Well, if you don't have Walmart out here, but any store that sell that, there's the fish aerator that pumps air into the fish tank.
Uh-huh.
The bubbler.
Yeah.
Get one with a double port, and you get the bubbler and put that in here, uh-huh. And that will start brewing because it will put air into the microorganisms because they need, they're aerobic and they need air, and that'll keep them living. And what's going to happen is I'll start doing foam. Don't do it in your house. I did it at our one place I was visiting, and I forgot to turn it off. I forgot to take it outside. And I forgot about it all weekend. I was doing a seminar. And guess what happened? It was brewing. And it started going out onto the floor, the bacteria, just the foam stuff. And I came up the next morning and said, oh, man, they're going to kill me in here. But the carpet is broke, you know, I don't know. Okay, fruit trees, we're going to go past that because you can find good fruit tree fertilizers out there. But this is for those who want fruit trees. Just see me after, and you can write that down. Let's go right to this. Now, this is, I'm going to show you some stuff from our garden, my garden. Again, this is a toilet. I was teaching someone how to grow food in New York City in a toilet. I want to tell you a story about this. I can't tell you later. I can't tell you. But anyway, I'm going to do it very quickly. It's just basically, no, I better not do that. What I'm going to do is, when we're growing food here, I'm growing here out of sawdust and sand. Our ground was so hard, and I figured out how to grow out of sawdust and sand and put minerals. That's all this sawdust and sand. The worms that ate it all down, and it's black. Okay, let's look at another one here. This is the lettuce in my garden now. This is growing in the city. No, this is in the country, but you can grow this lettuce in these trays you can buy. And if you fill your trays up, these little gardening trays, you don't have to do these single packs like this here, but you can fill them up and just level it and just sprinkle your lettuce seeds or spinach seeds and cover the whole tray. And if you let it grow about 5 to 7 inches, cut it. That's your salad. Then it'll grow back. You can spray some alfalfa tea on there and it'll grow back. And it's amazing. In Atlanta, they sell this stuff here, $8 to $10 a bag, a small bag. And you can grow it right in your thing. And you can grow it right in your apartment. Just move this around by the sun. This is my greenhouse, but it's just some things that you can grow all these things that are bulls, blood beet, broccoli, carrots, celery, fennel, sweet basil, at a young stage and put them in your garden. Okay, this is my lettuce bed.
Wow.
Again, this is right now. When I left, I did take a hit off of it. I had to get some fresh lettuce when I got to L.A. And this is part of food we're growing. Now, this is my Babylonian garden. I grow food like the Babylons do. That's okay. This is my cabbage, my Chinese cabbage. And I'm growing there. There now in my garden. This is my tomatoes. There's my cabbage. That's one head, and we don't have time for all that. This is the last slide, I think. Yes. All right. Now, I want to share something with you. There's a thing called the hang your garden, you know, that little bag thing you buy in the store, hang your tomato down, and it grows downward, which is a good thing. It is right. But, you know, you can do this. See this hole right here?
Uh-huh.
Go get some of these buckets. You'll save you a lot of money. Cut that hole out. Take your tomato and leave the dirt on the tomato and try to, a young one, and stick it down in there really nice until it just hangs there. And then you fill it up all the way, about 3/4 full. Put your minerals in there. And then what you want to do is put a pepper on top of it. So the tomato will be growing downward, a pepper will be growing up. And then what I do is I sprinkle a little bit of lettuce seeds or something in there. So when I'm ready to eat a salad, I got this hanging up. I'm picking my tomatoes, so this is hanging on a pole somewhere. And then you pick your peppers and you pick your lettuce,
and you sketch a nice little salad. And this is very cheap to do right there, and just get a good soil compost or potting soil, and you can save all that money in your area, and you can have a whole bunch of these around your yard. And if you have any other questions, you can see me after, and if you want to see our website, it's growministries.net, growministries.net. And we'll be back in your area trying to do some hands-on, week-long schools here in this area, if you're interested. But you can do it, you really can. I hope you learn something this afternoon.